Are you a starving artist? Welcome to Behind the Canvas. This is episode number one. And today we are going to talk about 10 ways to go from starving to thriving. The term starving artist has been in the conversations of the art business world for way too long. Accepting that title as some kind of a rite of passage or as a badge of honor and saying that art and money somehow don't mix is the biggest trap that can leave you broke, and it can dry up your dream to create faster than you can blink your pretty creative eyes. Tying your self-worth to money is wrong on so many levels. If you're cool with no money, then that's cool. If you're cool with money, then that's cool too. Just don't be adverse to money for the sake of someone else's ideas and how it relates to art and your own self-worth. Think about this for a minute. What are some things that you like that need money? Do you like to buy food? Need money. Do you like to buy food for your furry friend? You need money. Do you like to drive? Need money. Get the idea? Money is not the bad guy. It's simply the means to exchange what you have for what you need and want. That's it. It's just paper and metal. The energy and emotions around it are where you need to focus. You need to sort through those, challenge, and make your own beliefs about. There is nothing wrong with being broke, but there is nothing noble about it either. It doesn't make you more real, smarter, or even more human. Money takes creativity to make. So really, artists are naturally in the prime spot to make money. You're already creating, flowing ideas, and figuring out solutions to creating. Just apply those same skills to making money. Pretend it's green paint that you need. How would you get it? Maybe you don't need to make a lot of money, but it can be fun. You like to have fun, right? Make the money, then you can decide what to do with it. Some cool things to do if you have money. You could buy more art supplies. I don't know about you, but art supply stores are like my heaven. I love to go in and poke around the different materials and figure out what I can create with it. Other things you can do are taking a trip to the location that you want to paint. Give to that nonprofit that you want to help. Even help a friend who needs a little extra. That'd be great. What about paying your rent or even lease or buy a space to show your work? Invest in your business and your art or in your skills. If you're tired of being broke or you're in a financial crisis, it is time to get on it today without delay. Let's go over 10 things that you can do right now to go from broke to stoked and quit starving and start thriving. Number one, get the clutter out. Clearing out your space signals a fresh start, and you will feel full of energy from the release of all that extra stuff around you. And each day after, you'll wake up energized and keep on track and get moving on the important things. How do you start that? Sometimes I know it can feel overwhelming. I found this great little book about a year ago by Marie Kondo. It's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. In this book, she suggests that you start with your closet. Start with your clothes and things that are intimate to you, and you grab them one by one. If you feel a spark of joy, you keep it, and if you don't, you move on and throw it out. You use the same process to go out through your books, your CDs, you move through your house. And I suggest that you also do it for your art studio space. The things that bring you joy, you keep them. Things that not, just cluttered, just get rid of them. I would love to share this book with you, so let's do something fun. Go to iTunes and put a review or comment on this episode, number one, for Behind the Canvas, and I will randomly select a winner between now and the end of July, and the winner will receive a copy of Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So let your friends know as well, because then you can win and share it together. Next on the list is number two, get clear. Set your vision on what you want, why you want it, and when you want it. If you need money now, then you need to target the next 30 days, a short vision, and then you need to break out the steps from there. Then expand it out beyond 30 days and the steps you'll continue to take and what you need to fully nurture and care for yourself and those that you love. Number three, say no. Stop everything that's draining your energy, whether it's people, situations, environments, activities, or habits. There is an energy around everything. And if that energy is draining you instead of filling you up, then right now you need to say no. Number four, take back your time. Be honest and track your time that's wasted. Are you spending it on social media, watching TV, or researching? Start by setting a limit to those extra activities. Set a timer for 15 minutes on Facebook, 30 to 60 on TV, 30 minutes on researching, and so on. Also, review your volunteer time. Helping others and causes is really great, but when it's not recharging you and worse, draining you, it's not great. Do a review of where you're giving your time and pull back where it's being wasted. Number five, connect and follow up. Do you have maybe a stack of business cards or notes from people who loved your work and really want to connect with you? There is hidden money in there. So sit down and send them an email, call them up, leave a message. If you have a lot of follow-up to do and it seems really overwhelming to do it, just get everyone's name on a list and put together an email campaign. You can simply say, hello, here's what I'm working on. Just reach out to them and let them know that you're still in business. Do you have real buyers that have even invested in your work? Send them an email with your link of your latest pieces or a note and tell them what you're up to and where you're showing next. Following up is one of the most important tasks you can do. Set a time to do this at least weekly so that it doesn't get out of control. Number six, get it on your calendar. I know you've heard this before. If it's not written down, it's not happening. Write it down on your calendar. Make time to focus on making money and grow your business. Number seven, cut it out. Figure out where you can cut expenses. Pull back on eating out. Make your own coffee or green smoothies at home instead of buying them. Turn up the air, turn down the heat, wash your own car. Make your list and then trim it really tight for 30 days. You can loosen whenever you want to, but get focused about this right now. Number eight, pick a focus. Review your art and your inventory process. Are you maybe all over the place and you're doing whatever inspires you at the moment? For the next month, pick a focus. Pick one subject or style or media and work on only that. Pick a focus on where you're selling too. All your efforts to market your online site, or are you showing in a cafe or a gallery? While you're in this crunch time, put all your focus in only a couple of areas and go all out on it. You could go to the gallery or the cafe and be present, answer questions about your work. If you're online, put together a marketing campaign or a share campaign so on social media so you can really focus on that direction as well. The point is, pick one of those things and for the next 30 days, go all out. Number nine, get support. Start with friends and family and then move outward if you don't have a lot of support there. Find someone who can keep you accountable. Trade work where you can. Maybe someone to help you clear the clutter or do your graphics or stretch your canvases if you're a painter. And if money is a lifelong trouble spot, consider getting professional help too. Work through it. Face up to those areas that you need help in and that keep tripping you up. Number 10, go bigger. Take a hard look at where you're creating maybe too small in size or too closed off from people. Are you doing only small watercolors on paper? Small canvases because you don't think bigger ones can sell? Go with your best work and create a larger piece. Jump on that commission that you've been talking about, or a mural project, or even offer to do a live painting at a local coffee shop and sell work while you paint. So that's all 10. Now, here's some bonus tips on pricing. If your work isn't selling, take a closer look at what you're offering. I did a couple of posts on this, so I'll put them in the show notes as well if you want to dive into pricing and formula. Are you creating and pricing work that's maybe $50 or $2,000? Making a shift in your pricing can shift the flow around your work and invite new buyers to look and purchase. For example, if you create a $10,000 piece, it can really bring in a new buyer who only looks at larger works and higher price points. A more expensive piece will also help your mid and lower range work seem more affordable. Play with pricing within reason. For example, if you're only pricing your work around $50, upgrade your best one to $100. If you're stagnant at $2,000, review your prices and maybe drop the ones you want to move to $1,500 or a bit lower, but avoid discounting. Take a real honest look at what's selling or not and price your work to move so that you can create new work. If you're not sure how to price and you want a formula to work with, I'll put a link to a formula I created in the show notes as well. And that will be a starting point until you can figure out your own sweet spot. For formula pricing, you take the cost of materials plus your hourly rate, and that equals your price. If you don't know what your hourly rate is, start with about $20 an hour for now. Don't go below that. And for retail pricing, then you double the cost of materials and you add in any gallery fees to your sales price. Gallery fees, if you're looking to do a new gallery, typically they run between 30 and 50%. So again, you can look for that link in the show notes for the pricing formula and worksheet. Many artists, they price by the square inch, so you can use that as well. It's a good starting point. However, you have to adjust this as small work may be priced too low and then large work can be priced too high. Make a list for your prices and make quality tags for your work as well. That really is a perception point for your buyers to see that you take your work seriously, you're professional and clean and confident, and you talk about your prices with ease. Remember, any pricing structure that you choose is a guideline and it's not set in stone. Keep aware of the market and take a look around what's going in your town or your area and the pieces that are selling or not selling, and then you can adjust them as you need to. Now I'd love to hear from you. What are your best tips for thriving as an artist? Share them in the comments and leave a review and let's start the conversation. We'll see you here next week. Thanks for listening to Behind the Canvas.